Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Before we dive into the scriptures, I have a question to ask all of you. Have you ever tried hiding a secret and then revealing it only at the grand finale? You know, I have two boys, Caleb and Joshua. They are 19 and 15 years old this year. When they were young, Felix and myself loved to give them surprises. So when my oldest boy, Caleb, was 12, I told him that on the last day of school, I will meet you in school, and then Dad will come on a taxi with Joshua to pick us up to go to Changi Airport for lunch. So Felix and myself, we don't drive, so it would be normal for him to pick us up via a taxi to go to Changi Airport, one of our favorite places, for lunch. So halfway through the journey, we shouted, "Surprise! We're going to Changi Airport to have lunch and to take a plane to KL for holiday." Then they were like, "Don't bluff." Then we quickly showed them the etiquette itinerary. And then they were like stunned like vegetables. You know, from the planning of the secret to the booking of the flight to the packing of the clothes, everything was done in secret, you know. And Felix that day had to push the luggage into the taxi by himself, pick up Joshua at my mom's place, and swim by to the school to pick us up. The day that the secret was finally revealed, it was an unforgettable moment for all of us. Likewise, in Matthew chapter 21, the secret of Jesus' messianic identity is finally revealed. When it was finally revealed in chapter 21, it was an unforgettable moment for many people back then. Before chapter 21, everything would be a hush-hush. Jesus would tell his disciples, the people, don't tell anyone who he really was. But when it came to Matthew chapter 21, his messianic identity was loudly, clearly, boldly proclaimed. Especially when he entered into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, loudly proclaiming that because it was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. And the crowd saw that, and the crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" So it was an aha moment for everyone. Finally, the Messiah has arrived. That was in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 22, the passage that we're covering today, in verse 41, it says this, "Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, 'What do you think about Christ? What do you think about the Messiah?'" You know, scholar R.T. France says this question constitutes the second time in which he reveals his messianic secret to the public. So chapter 21, 22 is all about Jesus boldly, loudly, clearly proclaiming the messianic secret. Because chapter 21 and 22 are so interconnected, we want to do an overview together so that we can understand all the events in these two chapters. All the events in these two chapters are not supposed to be understood separately. They come together to send a very clear main idea for us to sit up and pay attention right now. As we recall Matthew chapter 21 all the way to chapter 22. So in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 27, you see three events. Jesus riding on a donkey, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. Jesus cleansing the temple. Jesus cursing the fig tree. All these three events loudly declared his messianic identity. You know, to curse the fig tree, it wasn't just a simple act. It was a parabolic enactment of God's judgment on his people for defiling the temple and rejecting the Messiah. So only the Messiah can curse the fig tree like that. Only the Messiah can cleanse the temple. All these three events loudly declared the messianic secret. Then we go on to Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, covered by Pastor Timothy Yeo, when Jesus tells three parables, warning the leaders for rejecting Jesus' messianic identity. All these events, they are pointing to the same big main idea. We come to the last passage, which what we are covering today. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 46, we will encounter three debates. Jesus faces three debates, three confrontations. All these are pointing to the fact of him declaring his messianic identity. So because all these events in Matthew chapter 21 to 22, they all happen during the Passion Week. So it's important for us to understand a little bit of the historical context of Passion Week. You know, among all the pilgrimage festivals where the Jews, male Jews, were expected to travel to the temple in Jerusalem, the Passover seems to be most enthusiastically observed. Pilgrims, Jews from Galilee, from all over the areas, they will come down to the temple. They will come down to Jerusalem. The normal population size of Jerusalem back then was about 30,000. But during the Passover week, it could go up to 180,000 people. That is four times the size of the National Stadium. But today, don't be overwhelmed by the many events of chapter 21 to 22. Don't be overwhelmed by the many people that you will encounter, 180,000 people, because among this huge group of people, there are only just two groups. Those who accepted Jesus versus those who rejected Jesus. Those who accepted Jesus were mentioned in chapter 21, the crowds, the children, the lame, the sick. They saw him. They shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Versus six groups of people that were intentionally covered by the author Matthew in Matthew chapter 21 and 22. These six groups loudly rejected Jesus' identity when he was finally revealed to them. So it's important for us to understand who are these six groups of people. Because when we understand how they rejected Jesus based on similar reasons, we can understand in chapter 23, next chapter, next week's sermon, we can understand why Jesus pronounces very heavy judgment on these leaders. So let us understand three groups that were mentioned in Matthew chapter 21. Three groups rejected Jesus. And these three groups are, firstly, the chief priests. Who are the chief priests? Sometimes when we look through the Bible like that, right, we don't really know who the chief priests are. The chief priests are people who took pride in their highest position of authority in the temple system. Ordinary priests served below them. The Levites served in more supportive roles. Chapter 21, Jesus challenged the position of authority by taking control of the temple and cleansing the temple directly. Can you imagine Jesus entering their turf, taking over the temple? And no wonder the chief priests in chapter 21 shouted, "By what authority are you doing this?" They were threatened in chapter 21 when Jesus' messianic identity was finally revealed by them. The second group, the scribes. Who are the scribes? We read so much about them, right? The scribes are people who took pride in their performance of study, knowledge, authority in the law. Jesus challenged the performance and the knowledge, study, and authority in the law by teaching in the temple directly. Can you imagine the scribes went through so many years of training so as to teach the word, and then this joker Jesus just came in, took over their territory, and started teaching the temple? They were very threatened by Jesus. Very, very threatened. And the third group, in chapter 21, the elders. The elders took pride in their prominence among the people. But Jesus challenged them with his own prominence, because when he entered in chapter 21 into the city, he had great following. So many people recognized he was the Messiah. So many people shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the elders were really threatened. When you look at how they took pride in their position, performance, and prominence, we must understand one thing. The three P's are not evil by themselves. Sometimes we think, someone who is serving in the leadership position, that person must be prideful, you know. That's why when your ZM, your DM, your pastor come and ask you to serve in position of CGL or DMK, you tell your pastor, "I want to be humble, so I'm not serving." This is a wrong biblical understanding of a position of leadership. Because Jesus served in three P's, position, performance, and prominence, but he was humble. He was humble. So the issue wasn't that this group of leaders, they function in three P's, therefore they rejected Jesus. No. The problem was that the three P's were at the center of their hearts. position, prominence, performance were the idols of their heart. When Jesus came, when the identity was revealed to them, the secrets of their heart were exposed. Inside the secrets of our hearts were the idols in the three P's. That's why they rejected Jesus. The three P's were at the center of their lives. They assessed everything through the three P's. They assessed Jesus through the three P's and they rejected Jesus. If they assessed Jesus through the Holy Scriptures, they would have connected the dots that this guy is the Messiah. They rejected him because of the secrets of their hearts, their idols. Those are three groups in Matthew chapter 21. Today, in our text, we will discover three other groups. In Matthew chapter 22, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Herodians. Before we dive in to cover today's passage, let us pray. Father, fill us with your Spirit to understand your word. Speak to us, pierce our hearts through your truth. At the end of the day, we want to be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So there are three groups that the author Matthew intentionally mentioned right now in Matthew chapter 22. Let us read the passage given to us to understand who are the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Verse 15, from the ESV version. Then the Pharisees went to plot how to entangle Jesus in his words. And they sent their disciples to Jesus along with the Herodians saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were enemies. But they came together to want to trap Jesus and entangle him. In the three debates that we will encounter today, they are not asking him questions to learn from his wisdom. They were asking him questions to entangle him, test him, trap him, to show the readers that these three groups really hated Jesus. So although they were enemies, but they came together to fight against Jesus, who was threatening their position and their prominence. They decided to trap him with a very difficult question. What do you think about taxation? Back then, we must understand that the people of God suffered greatly under the heavy taxation policy. And some of them believed that they should not pay taxes because that would contradict their allegiance to God. But Jesus wisely replies in verses 18 to 22, which we will not read, but I'll quickly summarize for all the verse. Jesus says, "Render to Caesar whatever belongs to Caesar." So what Jesus is saying that he's not here to set up a new political system. Therefore, he wants the people to continue to pay tax and observe the civil law. That's an amazing way to answer the question. So the third group, now the Sadducees appear in the picture. Who are the Sadducees? They're going to ask him a question. Before we go on to read the questions that they're asking, the Sadducees are a group of people who do not believe in the concept of resurrection. They only believe in the first five books of the Bibles written by Moses. Because resurrection is a subsequent concept that is introduced in the later part of the Old Testament, therefore they don't really agree with that concept. So let us go on to read the third group, the Sadducees who rejected Jesus. Verse 23. The same day, Sadducees came to Jesus who say that there's no resurrection and they ask Jesus a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring left his wife to his brother. So too the second and the third down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." R.T. France once again highlights that the same day is an editorial connection which serves to hold together the series of three debates as part of a single complex. It means the three debates, all the questions come together to send a big idea that these three people really hated Jesus for similar reasons. The three questions are not supposed to be understood separately. It's not supposed for us to understand how wisely Jesus answered the question. They all point to the same idea: they rejected Jesus. Similar reasons. So how did Jesus reply this difficult question? Jesus went on to answer them in verse 29. "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. Jesus quoted Moses' words by saying God is still in a covenant relationship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus deliberately quoted Moses' words when Moses used the word, I am the God. The present tense sends a loud message to the people that God is still in a covenant relationship over these three guys who are dead for centuries. So Jesus wisely introduced the concept of resurrection by quoting Moses' words, since they only believed in Moses' words. So no wonder the crowds were astonished. They were amazed. Wow, this Jesus really knew the scriptures very well. You know, at this moment, one group of persons should be very impressed by Jesus' teaching. That group is a group that really well-schooled and knew the scriptures very well. It should be the Pharisees, right? But right now, the author, Matthew, zooms in at Pharisees to tell us that they were not impressed. In fact, they were very threatened and they asked Jesus the last question. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, one of them, a lawyer, which is a scribe of a Pharisee, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You know, the rabbis back then believed that there are 613 commandments. Different rabbis will argue with different rabbis which one is more important. So to ask Jesus this question, which one is the greatest? They were out to trap him, because if Jesus were to say commandment A is more important, Jesus would have offended a group of rabbis who think that commandment B is more important. But Jesus knew the scriptures so well. He reduced the 613 commandments to the irreducible. And he said, love God and love one another. By now, everyone was just silence. So let us do a quick summary of these three groups of leaders in chapter 22. Who are the Sadducees? The Sadducees took pride in their highest social religious position in Jerusalem, controlling the temple worship and politics. Jesus, in chapter 22 and 21, challenged their position of authority by cleansing the temple directly and upsetting the trading system in the temple that the Sadducees controlled and profited from. That's why they are so upset with Jesus. That's why they ask a lot of questions to trap him. The second group that we just covered in Matthew chapter 22 are the Pharisees. They took pride in their performance of the study and the knowledge of the law. Jesus challenged their performance by wisely answering many difficult questions that caught everyone by surprise. And the last group, they are the Herodians. The Herodians are people who supported the Herod's dynasty. They took pride in their prominence that came from political connections, social prestige, and proximity to power. Jesus also challenged them with his own prominence with the crowd. Six groups of people highlighted in Matthew chapter 21, 22. When Jesus' messianic identity was revealed to them, their secrets of idolatry were exposed. These six groups rejected Jesus because of the idols of their hearts, the idols of position, prominence, performance. They were challenged and therefore they rejected Jesus. When you look at this, we must understand that the scribes and the Pharisees were well schooled and taught in the scriptures. They knew the scriptures very well. The scribes and the Pharisees definitely would have read Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48 that talks about the cleansing of the temple. They definitely would have read Zechariah 14 and 21 that talks about one day there will be no trading in the temple. So when Jesus cleanses the temple, removes the trading, they should have connected the dots because they knew the scriptures. They read the scriptures. Instead of connecting the dots, they were offended by Jesus because Jesus exposed the secret of their hearts. No wonder at the last portion, Jesus asked them in 22 verse 41, what do you think about Christ? And guess what they did? Everyone did not answer this question. nor acknowledged Jesus as their Messiah. They knew Jesus was asking them about him as a Messiah. They kept quiet. Enough of the overview. Today, God is asking all of us this question. What do you think about Christ? What do you think about the Messiah? Is he king in your life? Are you going to keep quiet? Will you acknowledge him as Messiah, as your king, as your Lord? This is the question that we must answer when King Jesus is revealed. Examine who reigns at the center of your life. When King Jesus was revealed to the six groups of leaders, the idols were exposed and therefore they rejected Jesus. Today, when Jesus is revealed to you through the scriptures, is he truly your king? Or do you have the idols of 3 P's ruling at the center of your heart? You know, some of you may be quietly saying this, Pastor Sharon, I don't think I have 3 P's at the center of my life. I think I'm different from the 6 leaders mentioned in 21 and 22. Before you reach that conclusion too quickly, we must remember that most of us were born and educated in Singapore, a country that highly esteems the 3 P's, just like the Greco-Roman world in the book of Matthew. If you ask any P6 kid up there at level 4 in their P6 camp, they will tell you that their performance in the PSLE exam is highly scrutinized, widely discussed in Singapore. They will tell you performance is a key thing in their hearts and in the country. Our pride in performance, position, and prominence is often subtle and secretive. We don't even know it until God lovingly and graciously expose it, like how he did it for the 6 leaders. They were exposed. Their secrets of the hearts were exposed, but they rejected Christ. Today, when God exposed the idols of your heart, what will you do? What do you think about Christ? How will you answer this question? Our pride in the 3 P's can be so subtle as a marshmallow challenge. Let me tell you a story right now. You know, when they repeat this challenge in different settings, they often come out the same result. They put a group of executives in a boardroom and then put a group of kindergarten kids in another room. Then they give them the same challenge, build the tallest marshmallow tower. Guess which group always come in first? The kindergarten kids. Then you wonder why this group of executives should be very good in strategies and execution. Because the group of executives has something that they need to consider. The pecking order, the position. If you are a junior staff, you better don't outshine and your senior staff by telling an idea that your senior staff looks stupid in the room. So usually, there's pecking order position to consider, and then the group of executives will struggle to build that tower. But for kindergarten kids, their world is flat. There's no pecking order, no pride issue. They usually just build on each other's good idea, then they reach the tallest tower the fastest. Maybe that's why the children in Matthew chapter 21, they were among the first few that shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! They don't know the scriptures, and yet they could recognize the Messiah. And today, we need to ask ourselves, could the 3 P's be at the center of our hearts that we don't even know? Could it be that when Christ is revealed, maybe there's someone else, something else, ruling at the center of our hearts? Because it's so subtle, we need to examine. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, examine my heart. If not, I have no idea. I have no idea I have the 3 P's ruling at the center of my heart. Because it's so subtle, I'm going to flash a few questions for us to reflect in silence together. The questions are related to the 3 P's. So after showing the first slide, I will invite you to take a picture. Then we move on to the second slide. There are 3 slides of questions. Okay, you stand by your handphone right now. In the area of position, to examine your heart and to ask whether there are secrets of the idols inside, perhaps you need to ask yourself this question. Do you feel less significant or even frustrated now that you have retired, stepped down from a leadership role, or weren't given one? How do you respond when God asks you or your children to serve in hidden or humble places? How do you view those in higher or lower positions than you, with envy, pride, or grace? How do you handle seasons when God seems to set you aside from position of leadership? Now I invite you to take a picture so that we can reflect in silence together. The answers to this question will let you have a glimpse of your heart, whether you love position more than you love Jesus. I want to invite all of you to take a picture. You can go back home to reflect after Sunday as well. The second slide is a slide concerning performance. How do you handle criticism or correction to your performance as a chance to grow or as a threat to your worth? How do you respond when you can't meet expectations, your own or others? Are you able to rest and find contentment even when results are imperfect? Can you rejoice with others' success without feeling diminished or competitive? You take a picture right now. Your answers to this question will show if your desire for performance has become an idol. Has it become an idol? Has it taken the center stage of your life? The last slide will be on prominence. Can you genuinely rejoice with someone who receives the recognition you long for? Do you find yourself comparing your hidden role to the visible one? Is your sense of worth affected when your name isn't mentioned or your efforts go unnoticed? How do you handle envy or resentment when prominence is given to others? We will spend the next 3 minutes. You're not supposed to reflect all the questions. Just pick one slide, one or two questions, and ask Holy Spirit, speak to me. Examine my heart today. Is Jesus truly King Jesus? Let us reflect right now with the help of the Spirit. Thank you for reflecting. As we come to a close of today's sermon, when King Jesus is revealed to you through the scriptures today, through your life situations, examine who reigns at the center of your life. Is it truly King Jesus? When Jesus was revealed to the people, the six groups of leaders, the secrets of their hearts were exposed, the idols were exposed, and they rejected Jesus. And today, if Christ were to ask you, what do you think about Christ? What do you think about the Messiah? How will you answer? Today, God is calling all of us to surrender our idols. It may be the three P's, or it may be something else, someone else. Surrender your idols. When you go through darkest moment of your life, run to no one else except Jesus. When you go through storm and raging seas of life, don't run to your idols. They will never satisfy you. Run to Jesus. Lean on Him. Trust fully in Him. He's the glory and lifter of your head. Ask Him to bring you higher, higher in your spiritual appetite and intimacy with Him. Ask Him to draw you deeper in your fear for Him, in your love for Him. Come, let us rise and let us sing this song, Be With You. Let this song be our cry, our prayer, our desire.
Savior of my soul, guided you through all my darkest moments, and you I find my peace, my comfort when I'm weak. I trust in you through storm and raging sea. Faithful, you're my God. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Your light that fills my days, it leads me in your ways. Forever I surrender all to you.
Calling us to respond to Him. What do you think about Christ? You must give an answer today. There is no sitting on the fence. Either Jesus is your King or He's not. And if today this is your desire, you want to surrender your idols, you want to say, Lord, you are my King. No one else, nothing else. No one can stand between me and you. If this is your desire, I want to invite you to raise your two hands as an act of surrender. To say, God, come and reign as my King once again. Father, you see hands raising up to you. This is our love, our response. Remove our idols in the name of Jesus. Whether is it position, prominence, performance, whether it's anything else, remove them in the name of Jesus by the power of your Spirit. Today, empower my brothers and sisters to put Jesus as their King. And for those of you in position of authority, may the Spirit empower you. In that position, may you never advance your own interests. May you always advance the kingdom of God in your position of authority. May your position, your prominence, your performance bring glory to the Father. May you bring transformation in your workplace, in your homes, in the community, so that all that you do will point your name, the name of Jesus, will give glory to the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. To the second group of us here, with all eyes closed, I want to invite you to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If this is the day that you want to receive Him, you want to tell Jesus, I don't want to be reconciled to God by my own effort, my own performance. I believe that you died for me on the cross, and by your blood, I can be cleansed. By your blood, I can be reconciled. If this is you, can I invite you with all eyes closed to raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Receiving Jesus for the first time. Is there anyone receiving Jesus for the first time? Up in the gallery as well. Father, we pray for your Spirit to touch the hearts of our friends, whether is it on site or in the online space. If they have prayed to receive Jesus, believing you dying on the cross for them, come and fill their hearts with your Spirit. Transform their lives. May their lives give glory to your name and advancing your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Let's sing this song together. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Behold the King of Kings. Exalted high the name above all names.
I sing
His praise. The Lamb upon the throne, who reigns in glory, power and majesty.
This is our God.
This is my God. Behold His hands and sides, the wounds of love that heal my brokenness. What God is this? What so much to gain a loveless soul? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For Christ has died that I might gain His life. He is my all, my joy, my righteousness, my hope of glory. Shall come again, and every knee shall bow before His name, and He shall reign forever on the throne, and in His glory there I shall proclaim.
Let's proclaim this together.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord,
you are God.
Jesus is Lord,
praise Lord.
Jesus is Lord,
oh, you are God.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Let's face it, say,
Jesus is Lord.
You had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.